Hey guys, welcome back. You are watching and listening to part two of Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Yep.
If you made it this far, we would love to celebrate you and send you some kind of like merit badge. I survived part one, but stick it out with us because we had to watch the movie so you didn't have to listen to the rest of it. We gloss over a lot of the races, but it's still a fun listen. Yeah. So yep. Get your ears ready.
Mm-hmm.
Hide your children.
Enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the episode. I don't know why I said hide the children. Yeah, so Han pulls up outside of a bathhouse and he's just like, there's a guy in there with a paw
that
owes me money. Go in there, get my money.
Yeah.
Han's just a boss in this movie.
He's using children to get his money. Yeah. Well, actually, this guy's 40. Maybe Han didn't know he was a child.
He picked him up.
He's like, this guy's older than me.
He's like, you're a narc, right?
Why are you begging me?
Get my money.
He's just like,
because I'm proud of you for going back to school.
Yeah.
If I ask if you're a cop, you have to tell me, right?
Yeah.
So Sean goes into the bathhouse, and you know, he has to get into a towel, and he goes through looking for the guy with the paw, and he finds the guy with the paw.
He finds the guy with the paw.
You see him from the back, and I'm just like, dude, I knew who it was from the back.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, snap. It was Konishiki.
Konishiki, yeah.
World famous
Road
Samoan
sumo
wrestler from the west side of Oahu. Grand champion.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good to see him.
Did you feel pride?
Saleba'a Atisinoi.
Atisinoi.
Wow, you get Konishiki. You get The Rock, like, you must be super proud.
I do. In all
those
movies. I
get strength that. Coming through strong.
So, dude. Wait a minute.
Pioneers.
This is the second Samoan in chronological order in this franchise before The Rock, because he had that the security guard in the first one.
With The Rock sideburns and glasses.
Yes. Yes.
And he had a line.
He did have a line. Speaking part.
Welcome to Race Wars.
Yes. Yep. I don't know if there was one in Too Fast. Right. If there is a
No. There was only a man bun. There was a man bun.
Man bun.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe
there was no Polynesians. No Polynesians that I know of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
there was hamburger meat. There was hamburger meat in that one though.
Yep. There.
Sorry, I love that line with Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So better movie, by the way. I didn't think I'd ever say that. But better movie. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Good job, Rome.
Way better movie.
Yeah. And I think needless to say, Konishiki's
got this huge bear tattoo.
Yeah.
It's actually life size. And it's got this claw on him.
Yeah.
And that's when Sean sees the bear. And it just cuts outside the bathhouse and Sean's getting thrown out.
Yeah.
And Han is 16 candles standing outside again. And Sean gets back up and runs back in there. Which is pretty funny. I thought that was
pretty funny. But the nice thing is Konishiki threw him out fully clothed because when he went in, he had to get into a towel, right?
That's right. And so he stood there while Sean got dressed.
Yeah. And then
he's like, you ready?
Yeah.
Sean's like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
May I have another?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets thrown out, and it's so funny. Konishiki throws him out a second time, and he has money in his hand, and he just tosses it to Han. It was good times.
That was funny. And then, so Sean gets to drive the RX-7.
Right. Yep.
Han throws him the keys,
Oh yeah, and this is the when they go to the
Well, he bargains with.
Well, first he tells him. He tells him, "Listen, you work for me now.
Yeah.
You're in a pickup and delivery service.
Yeah,
I call you, you pick up and you deliver, right?
Yeah.
So he basically owns Sean now, right? Mm-hmm. Like Sean owes him, and Sean's just like." Well, teach me how to drift. This is exactly how Sean acts.
Yeah.
Teach me how to drift. And Han's just like, it's not a negotiation. I'm just like, yes, it is.
I wasn't negotiating.
Better acting. So, yeah. So then Han is Batman and Sean is Robin now.
Yeah.
And they're just going all over town. They go to this club, right? This bar.
UK's.
And they walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They walk in and they walk through this bar, this club, and they walk through a back door and they go through all these tunnels, right? And the end of the tunnel ends at another club. So I'm This is where I'm confused because does this club have another door, like an entrance? Or is this club just the back of this other club connected with dirty hallways? I don't know. It's not explained. It's not important. But the back of that club.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that movie Hunt for the Wilder People?
What?
It's the, what's his name?
The Taika Waititi movie.
No.
Did you guys see that movie? Oh my gosh. You have to see that movie. Way better movie. What's that?
Is it one of his shorts, or is it a
full? No, it's a full movie. And there's a part with the priest at a funeral, and he's just like, "There's two doors. Behind the first door is the most nummiest treats, Fanta, Sprite, burger rings, and behind the second door, you know what's behind that door?" And somebody's like, "Jesus." And he's just like, "No." You would think Jesus, but it's not. It's another door. And you know what's behind that door? And somebody else is like, Jesus? He's like, yes, yes, Jesus. So that's what this scene reminded me of. I was like, how many doors? They had to go through one club, a doorway through a dirty hallway into another club.
It was kind of
through
like-
another door, gosh. And DK was there. So, so yeah.
Music part like behind his garage and
yeah.
They own a lot of land, yeah.
So they make it to DK's dirty storage closet where they're gambling.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the scene from every Fast and Furious movie where Dom brings the Busta.
Right.
So it's just like every movie, it's in the contract. We have to have it. So DK is just like, what's the Busta doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And Han's just like, Busta didn't do anything for me, actually. I brought him here. I provided him two cars now. And he owes me a car. And he has done nothing for me at all today. So,
but this
Han is just, yeah.
Right? This sets up the next race with Marimoto over there. He's like,
oh, hey, yeah.
Hey, Brian. Oh, no, that's not Brian. Hey, Sean. What? When's your next race? And then Sean's like, why don't you be in it? And then he's like, okay. And so they don't have cars, but I guess Han bets the DK his 86 Corolla.
Oh, it's Hachiroku. So, yeah.
Yeah, for his Skyline. So I guess
yeah.
Han has a Skyline. He wants to bet for the Corolla.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And DK also tells Han, your shipment's late.
Right. Yeah.
And Han's just like, oh, don't worry about it. And I guess that's supposed to be foreshadowing. don't worry about it. Wink. It's only TV VCR combos. Don't worry.
Yeah.
cool 6 mil.
Yeah. 6.2 million for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Han and DK are in business. We find that out. And then Sean leaves because they kick him out because they had to do business. He leaves right, and runs to Neela and tries to get her past and offends her, I guess.
Right. So they're talking to each other in an alley because he went to use a payphone to call his dad and tell him he's going to be late. And Neela just appears like Dominic Toretto out of the shadows.
Yeah.
Surprised to see me. and he totally offends her. He offends her. Han comes out of meeting with DK and he sees him. Han's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're not very smart. You're not the sharpest crayon in this toolbox.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess Han and Sean go for a drive, Batman and Robin. Yeah. And we get a little backstory on DK, right?
Like, why?
And
I guess we find out that DK isn't Yakuza. He's like, DK's not Yakuza. His uncle's Yakuza.
Yeah, yeah. His uncle is Yakuza. And he's playing gangster in an old storage room.
Yeah.
But Han needs him, right?
Right.
Because in order for Han to do his side hustles in Japan, in Tokyo, he has to pay the piper. And so he has to be connected to the Yakuza. And he said, basically, 50% of something's better than 100% of nothing.
Right.
So we know that Han's doing these side deals. We know that Han is the chameleon from the other movies.
Right.
So, you know, at this point, I don't understand. I mean, I know they made this movie back before all the other movies, but this is where the storyline kind of falls apart for Han.
Yeah.
Because Han is filthy rich.
Mm-hmm.
Han is like wicked rich at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need to be doing any side jobs for anything. He can literally just be on the scene with whatever fancy car he wants.
Yeah.
Bought at retail. You know what I mean? Like,
you
know? So that's where this part of the story kind of falls apart for me, because it seems like he needs to have this side hustle.
Right.
I mean, it could just be that he's so used to being in the game, but he doesn't have to work for anybody. And that's what was kind of weird about this.
We found out that they're addicted to crime right in the last one. That's what they put together.
You mean that time when Brian was just like, we got it all, dog. The family, but I feel like something's missing.
Yeah, that's the
crime. Definitely crime, Brian. I think I know what you're thinking about. It's crime and wanton destruction. Yeah. So, so
another car passes them, right? Not yet. Shannon's waiting for a certain part in the movie, and then she's gonna go to bed.
I can just imagine Shannon just glazed over, like until the moment. Is it that time? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost there. It's almost there. A nice car flies past them. I don't know what kind it is.
Skyline.
And then Han gives Brian Jr. the look.
Yeah. And, Brian,
it's the NOS.
Smoke
him. Right?
Roast them.
Roast them. That was it. Roast them.
Yeah.
And so he hits the NOS, the two-button NOS, and he flies by this skyline. And then he also flies by these cops. And the cops, he's looking in the rearview mirror, and the cops don't move. And
yeah, because he was going 197 kilometers per hour.
I don't know what that is in American, but it's fast. And apparently, Han says that because Brian Jr. is like, I don't know. Why aren't they following us? And he's like, oh, if you do over 180K, they know they can't catch you.
So. I like how Hans talks. He's just always just, I'm so cool. My name is Hans, and I got nice hair, and I don't age. That's the thing about me. I can be in any one of these movies. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what order
you're
in. 2017. It doesn't matter.
I hope he comes back as like a force ghost or something, like a Jedi ghost in later ones.
He was like, him and two other people were my favorite.
You, him and two other people, that are you going to name those two people?
They were not named. However, when we get to that part, I will mention
in this movie.
In this movie.
Franchise.
Just in this
movie. Yeah, Han is the only reason I showed up for this.
Honestly, we showed up.
I needed to see how he recovered after the Wonder Woman death. You know what I mean? So, it's kind of playing well. He's kind of like, he's very mysterious in this movie so far, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going on. He's got some hidden story, but he's just like, Sean is like his diary. Like,
I know.
Sean is just writing his legacy all over Sean. And Sean just like,
he picked the wrong guy.
He picked the wrong guy to invest
in. Or the right guy. No one's going to, Sean's never going to remember.
He's like, this guy's not going to remember anything.
Yep.
I can tell this guy anything.
Yeah.
Still where my $9 million is buried.
Yep.
Right. So like, I think at this point, Sean's asking like why Han never raced DK. You know?
Mm.
And Han's just like, he'd only race for something important.
Yeah.
And he called Sean DK's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And then he didn't really explain, like, why?
I think it was because Neela showed interest.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. So, I forgot about her.
Yeah. Because it's all about control. And this guy makes DK
lose control. Out
of control. Right? And then he just can like take control of DK. So, but Brian Jr. loves this country because he can drive fast and cops won't chase him.
Right.
So they drive to Bow Wow's party. And
oh, so this is where I spoke too soon. I like to do that.
Where they go through the multiple part, the clubs. I thought you were talking about this scene.
Behind the other door. Yeah.
There's a lot of scenes.
So you go into the first party and it's pretty mellow. Like, I think all the girls have like clothes on. Like
They do.
And then you go through another door and then they're not. And then
there's another door.
They go through so they have a club. Go through another door, another club,
and then like
another door,
hangout
and
garage area,
and it's Han's garage.
It's like a corridor that leads to like the weird makeout.
He has this,
then it leads to a weird garage.
Yeah,
that's also where they sleep.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Wait, this is where I'm so confused. Is this Bow Wow's place? Is this Han's place? No, this is
Han's.
So Hans is having a high school kid, Bow Wow, also come to his parties. Like, there's a bunch of young... Well,
apparently, he's the one that makes these parties happen, right?
Yeah.
So Bow Wow, he has this weird conversation with
Yeah, he makes a safe place for supermodels to come and party.
Yeah.
It was...
And he also buys them with American Snickers.
Yep, that's right.
It was so weird. I don't know.
This is where Sean gets his car.
Han just gives him a red car. Evil.
Yeah,
because you red represent Evil's yours. Him now. So yeah.
What do you mean the red evil is mine? You race for me now, or you represent me now. So I'm not going to let you ride a Hyundai. We have a Blockbuster baby that woke up.
Oh, man.
Which is... So this is the sad part because... This is the part that Shanna wanted to talk about.
Is this when Han and Sean are talking?
This is
the city.
Before that, we do a little bit of drift practice. And so they go through that by the water. And
at the pier, yeah.
At the pier. And I have to talk about this for Shanna for a second, but she was very excited because he was trying to drift and there was the two fishermen. Right. Yeah. And she's like, these are my favorite characters of this entire movie, besides Han.
Yeah.
I think they were the best actors.
I wanted to look up these two guys because I'm sure these guys are either famous actors.
Oh, yeah.
Or some kind of legend. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get that feeling too.
It's like the two Muppets, the two old
right.
guys that are like real people in real life.
Yeah.
Puppets, but they might be like that. But they're like the two fishermen are like, call that drifting.
Right.
And all the friends in the area were talking about how bad Sean's drifting is.
And, well, nobody taught him. So
right.
I mean, if they all know, shame on them, right?
Right. And then it cuts to Sean's dad's garage. And he's working on an old Mustang.
Yes. And
this is foreshadowing a little bit, I think.
Yes.
It's because Sean comes over and he's like, oh, this thing's got potential. And then the dad gives him this metaphor, one of the metaphors of the movie about the nail that sticks out gets the hammer.
Right. And I understood this metaphor more than the second metaphor.
Oh, oh, the Kamata the metaphor? Ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, yes. Yeah.
Is that Sonny Chiba?
Okay. That's Sonny Chiba, right?
I don't know. I'm wondering now. It looks, now that you say that.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up. Awesome. So, yep. And then cut to back to school. We can't forget that they're in high school and they're on the roof. And Bow Wow is getting beat up by Morimoto.
So it made me wonder if Morimoto was in high school too.
Right.
I was just like, oh, okay. So everybody's in high school except for Han and DK.
Yeah.
But Morimoto's not. He just walked on the campus to beat Bow Wow up on the roof.
They didn't have the American wand and to make sure that he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
40 years old. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe just because he just looks the same age as the other guy. But
yeah.
So they're fighting.
So he's getting beat up over an iPod.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And Sean comes and saves him. But Bow Wow isn't happy because he's like, no, everybody's going to want exchanges.
It's because Sean gave Morimoto his iPod saying, don't come back or whatever.
Right. And then Neela shows up and Sean apologizes to her. And then she gives him the look and walks away.
I can't with those two, man. I can't.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I know. It's unnecessary. Well, movie. But.
Movie. That's unnecessary.
I don't know. I'm trying to move through this fast.
I know. So what's the point? So
they cut to another roof scene. From roof scene to roof scene, Bow Wow is playing soccer on a roof, and he's showing his soccer skills. And then Han is talking to
Sean
Bryan Jr. I keep wanting to call him Brian. On a higher roof, looking down, and gives him his Western escape story, where Tokyo is his Western, is his
right,
Western, right?
Right. Han's trying to escape his past.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is
Wonder Woman. Woman. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I have money. This trusting character I need around me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you talking about Sean? I mean, because you don't know anything about this guy. And what?
Because
he was just like, one car for knowing what a man's made of is worth it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it just means that this guy wrecked your car. It doesn't mean he has good character.
Yeah, nope. Not at all.
I mean, what part of him being in and out of juvie and that he should be in jail right now shows you that he has a good character? You also don't even know that about him.
Right.
All you know, just like Bow Wow, is that he speaks English and he knows how to drive a car, just not very well in Japan. Like, so Han is severely misguided in this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're looking down at this famous crosswalk in Tokyo, and there is like 10,000 CG people in that crosswalk, and it's clearly CG. And you know, that's how you know it's bad CG, because it's even a night scene where you can hide a lot of the bad CG. Yeah. They couldn't hide it. The darkness of the night was a different color dark from the shadow that was on them. It was just bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
Sean asked Han, if you don't race for to see if you're the best or for money, what do you race for? And then it cuts to them driving on the street, and there's, I don't know how they got there, but there's girls. Did they call it, say, I don't understand what happened here.
Okay, so there's a car, there's like a Skyline in the middle of the road, just parked in the middle of the road, and nobody else is around. And Han and Sean come drifting around the corner, and they drift into a perfect circle around this these couple girls in this car. And Han is just like macking the whole time. He's just like giving the eyes the entire time to the girls in the car. And I'm like, okay, he's flexing. But like they finally come to a stop in front of the girls, and there's just an extended scene of the camera zooming in on Han, on his face, on his eyes.
Yeah.
And then an extended scene of the camera slowly panning in on the girls' faces, and we're just like, what's
going on?
What, and like if I was Sean, I would
too. So
and like Han would be here, right, in the driver's seat, and I was just waiting for Sean to be like,
"You okay?
Are you having a stroke?" Like it was so weird. I actually replayed that scene because I thought that I had missed Sean or Han say something, but they're just staring at each. Han is staring at these girls. Girls are staring at them. And one girl like clicks her pen, and the driver hands a piece of paper, which I'm thinking is her phone number, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. So he drifts for phone numbers.
That's what he drifts for.
That's what
he after drifts all for. Of this character talk, and good man,
and
he doesn't drift
Wonder
for
Woman. He drifts for in the past, I guess. Future. Past. This is confusing. And then they go to more drift sessions, more drift teaching. And they're on top of a mountain, and Hannah's like, there's no wax on, wax off in this drifting. The old, the original drifters would go by feel. So he's like, go by feel. So more, and this is where they go back and forth between him learning how to drift and then like selling stuff with Bow Wow. He's like selling clocks and like shoes.
He's like selling knockoff watches and stuff like to tourists and to high school students.
Yeah.
Another unnecessary thing, like
I guess,
have we fallen so far, Kalani, from the heights that we were at with The Rock body slamming somebody into the ceiling twice?
Yeah.
And tanks driving through trucks and across bridges.
Well, during the scene.
I'm like, why am I watching high school students sell possibly fake shoes to other high school students? And honestly, like the whole drift scene, it was supposed to be that martial arts montage where the student becomes the master.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch it. Yeah. My eyes just glazed over. I was just like, they were just CG cars.
Yes. Real quick, the Blockbuster sister is back. We did talk about the fisherman.
No, that's my favorite. The only shining actors besides Hans for me in the whole movie.
So,
the fisherman.
So, yeah. I think that those two fishermen might be famous actors.
I think they should be.
I think they got a lot of screen time. You know what? I was right.
Oh.
In Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, one of the fishermen, despairing at Sean's early attempts at drifting, is the real-life drift king, Keiichi Tsuchiya.
I knew it. I just knew they were special. And thank you, Frank, for validating.
Tsuchiya, Tsuchiya helped popularize the art and Tunes driving, which also featured heavily funny. In the film.
Oh my goodness.
You know why? I was telling Connie, like, I wish the entire movie was just from those two fishermen's perspective. And the entire movie was just them talking about the idiots around them.
Honestly, the movie could have just been them sitting and fishing the whole time for like
an hour. It would have been better.
And then
and you don't even have to pan to the car. You would just hear the car. Like,
right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I really liked those fishermen.
So this is what I liked about that. Han finally gets in the car with Sean. And it's like, shouldn't you have done that from the beginning? And like outside eating the whole time. And
every time Sean would come crashing, he would just be like, again.
Yeah. But then, so he gets it, and then the fishermen, she left again, but the fishermen are back, and he finally says, now that's drifting. So right. I guess that makes so much more sense that the fisherman is talking about how good his drifting is, and he's a drift king.
Thanks. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Okay. You were right. That was a good call. It was a good call. And then cuts to dad wondering where Sean is because his bed is made. Because when Sean leaves to go move in with Han, he makes his bed. What a good kid. And a 40-year-old kid. So,
yeah, I'm surprised that at this point they didn't just show Sean making his bed. Because they just show that kind of stuff happening in this movie.
Yeah. Folding all the sheets over perfectly. And then this is where he races Morimoto in the garage again.
And yeah, and I didn't care. I just waited for the end of the race.
My notes are just he races, wins. Morimoto gets nuts in the car.
That's it.
That was it.
I didn't care. He wins
the 86, and it shows Neela being impressed. That was it.
Yeah. And then it cuts to, I'm just going to jump straight to Neela and Sean are having an affair. They're eating, they're having a date at a vending machine restaurant and eating out of paper grids. And then Sean just basically throughout half of this movie is just interviewing people in cars. I feel like that could be his internet show, you know, Sean interviewing, telling Sean your deepest secrets in cars. Because basically Neela is just like, you want to know why I drift?
Yep.
And then it cuts to her like, this is the funniest thing. It cuts to like a night CG scene of like six cars drifting down that mountain.
Yep.
Super close together. But that's not what's funny. All their cars and their tires are completely silent. It's just like so muted. Muted enough because Neela is like whispering her deepest, darkest secrets as she's drifting. And I'm just like, this girl, it's pitch black outside.
Right.
There's no guardrails. You're drifting. And you're talking like this, and you want to know why I do this. I wasn't listening, but like, you know how loud it would be. I mean, you heard how loud the car is when he's drifting on the pier.
Yes. No, I've been next to drift tracks, and it is very loud. The neighbors complain because it's so loud.
Yeah.
And there's no way you're talking, or let alone whispering.
Yeah.
But she says her speech is pretty much, and for those 10 seconds, I'm free.
I didn't even care. She tells her story, and I couldn't even care less.
Pointless.
It basically existed. The scene existed so that the next scene on the pier, where Sean gets out of his car after drift practice.
Yeah.
DK shows up and beats him up.
Beats him up.
Right?
Says he's gonna come in a wheelchair.
And he tells Han, find a new driver.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then Han is like, you don't just pour gasoline, you pour gasoline on the matches. I forget what the line was.
Right.
Pretty much.
So then Neela shows up at DK's place. Yeah, I'm scooting along on this, Kalani. Neela shows up. I only have two more lines in my notes, and it's going straight from my memory after this. Neela shows up at DK's place, and she says, "It's over. I'm breaking up with you. You're a grown up, and I'm a high school student, also.
This is terrible." Awkward, like, get help scene.
DK is like an inch from her face, and he's like pretty much mentally abusing her.
Yes.
He makes her cry. Yeah.
And then she shows up at Han's place.
She immediately, her tears have not even dried yet. She shows up at Han's shop, and she is ready to live with Sean. Like, that was that quick.
Good thing they have a lot of bunk beds at Han's place.
Just pull up another bunk. So they're all sitting there drinking tea. This movie.
Now this is where Uncle Kamada comes in.
Yep, Yakuza boss Kamada, Sonny Chiba.
He's looking over the books, and this is where he gives the weird, metaphor about, because he's like, Hans is stealing money from you.
Hans. Sure, why not? Hans is stealing from you. And DK is just completely shocked because it's funny. DK provides all of these, like, all of this data printed out to,
right.
to Kamata. And Kamata's just like, oh, there's so many numbers here. I can't even keep track. But I can still tell that your friend is stealing from you.
Yeah.
So.
What yeah. earlier, Han is like, why are you worrying about the details now? Right?
Right.
But I guess he doesn't pay attention to the details.
Yeah, that's true. So Kamata gives this super long, weird, what's behind
yeah,
that door?
Something, and yeah. something and about nails and shoe horses and steed and the message, and you lose the war because you lose.
I thought, yeah, and when you said nail, I was like, oh, is he going to reference the same thing
that
I was like,
that's what
is
I
this
thought
one
too.
Of those lines?
is this guy sticking out like a sore nail too?
Right. Yeah. Oh, maybe DK and Sean have more in common than we thought in the beginning. Kryptonite.
But probably not. So DK is not happy, and so he goes to Han's place, and he attacks Han.
Yep.
You know, they get into it. Why are you making side deals? And Han is like, we're not Boy Scouts. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Right? And
then, this is Brazil. No, this is Japan.
No, this is not Brazil. This is Tokyo. Midriff. But who's got a gun? Points it in Han's face, and then Bow Wow.
This is the first gun in the movie.
It is.
With like 25 minutes left in the movie, this is the yeah. first gun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a handgun.
It's a handgun.
But Bow Wow like slips over to the side and shuts the door to distract everybody, right? The big garage door, smashes a car, and then the chase is on, right? This is the big yep. chase scene in the movie. Sean and Neela get into the Evo. Han is in his RX-7. And then we got the two goons.
And DK and Morimoto, right, are chasing in their own cars. And I counted. It's so noticeable because of all the fantastic action movies that we've been watching
right.
leading up to this, is that DK only fires his gun 4 times. There are only 4 shots that happened.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I counted. I was like,
1, 2, 3. I didn't notice from here, but Morimoto crashes his car and gets hit by more cars than DK shoots. Like,
yes, he does.
He crashes and like 5 cars ram into him. And so I don't know. Is yeah. he does he come back?
No, he's done for.
I think he's pretty much done.
Surprisingly, right? He's not a Terminator. So
lots of drifting through the city.
Dude, I know. I'm not even gonna get into it.
Like yeah.
all the cars in the city are evenly spaced so that they can thread the needle drift.
Yeah. They do the Han saves Sean by slamming on his brakes, and then they do the famous crowd partying drift through the giant crosswalk, and then that's when Han or DK flips the reverse and shoots his gun 4 times.
Yeah.
And then Han gets away, but then this is the
saddest part of the movie.
Yeah. Is when
an old Mercedes
yeah.
smashes into his orange car, and it T-bones him, right? And like he flips, and he lands on his roof.
Yep.
His car's on fire.
And this is where we get the
continuity errors.
I hope you have listened or watched the last movie, because I'm about to spoil it for you. There's the end credit scene. What is it?
The end credit scene of Fast and Furious 6,
yeah, 6.
Has this whole chase scene. It has the threading the needle through traffic,
yep.
Han taking the corner, and then he gets hit and he flips. But I don't remember it being an old Mercedes in the post-credit scene. Anyway, the car flips, and he's upside down, but the camera shows a different angle. It shows the other side of the car, and Jason Statham,
yeah.
Hobbs, gets out of that car.
Shaw.
And he's on the phone. Oh, Shaw, I'm sorry. And yeah. he gets on the phone, and he says, Luke Hobbs, you don't know me, but I know you.
He says Toretto.
Dominic Toretto.
Oh, he's calling Toretto. Dude, I'm getting all these.
Well, because he throws the chain in the fire. He throws Dominic's chain in the fire after.
Yeah. And it's actually him who, does he shoot the gas tank or something? And that's what makes it explode?
I think so.
Yeah, because in this, in Tokyo Drift, it just shows Sean get out of the car and they show Han. The car is on fire, and as Sean runs up, the car explodes.
Yeah.
So in Tokyo Drift's multiverse, we believe that Han's car just exploded because of the fire. But we now know at the post-credit scene that it was Jason Statham that blew it up.
Yeah. So this is connecting. This is the scene that connects the franchise.
So Kalani, why did we have the rest of this movie?
Exactly. So we discovered after the last movie, like, I proved it right by watching the movie.
We had to.
They put that end credit scene in so that we wouldn't have to watch Tokyo Drift.
Yet here we are.
Yep. Sean and Neela flee into the subway, and they go back to Sean's dad's place. But before they can get in the house, DK shows up and is about to shoot Sean when Dad comes out and saves him with his own gun. Neela decides to go with DK, so she left him for DK. To save him, right? And then Sean, I feel like this scene is kind of like when Brian goes with Dominic, with Dom in season 6, where he's like, okay, no, you're going back. I want to save you by sending you back to America. And Sean's like, you know, 17-year-old Sean, 40-year-old, 17-year-old Sean. It's like, no, Dad, I'm going to stay here and make my wrongs right with the Yakuza. False. If that was my son, there's no...
Shut up and get in the house.
Get on the plane, getting out of here.
Changing your name.
He convinces his dad because he's like, hey, Dad, you made mistakes. Let me fix mine. You can understand that, right? No, get on the plane.
No, exactly.
But Dad lets him go. He meets up with Twinkly.
Yeah, so Twinkie like unscrews the back of his car and he has a leather backpack with all this cash in it, right? Yeah. And says Han would have wanted you to have it.
Right.
So he's like, this is the only thing that's gonna get you out of the Yakuza alive. And I was just like, Yakuza has lots of money.
Right. They don't need that. Yeah.
So Sean decides to go talk to the Yakuza, right? Yeah. And this is I felt like this was such a rushed ghetto scene portrayal of the Yakuza. I mean, all of the Yakuza was in an alley.
Yeah, it was like the Young Guns alley from the favelas.
It was the smallest alley ever, and there was like 200 Yakuza guys just like wearing sunglasses with bats and axes and stuff. And just like worst goons ever, by the way. Yep. They're just like getting out of the way. They have weapons, and they're just like getting out of the way for Sean and his backpack. And okay, I was able to forgive the fact that the stereotypical goons were in the alley.
Right.
But even the three-piece suit Yakuza guys were standing in the alley too. Like, it was weird. Shouldn't you be like in some wooden steakhouse looking place, you know? Like, drinking whiskey and stuff. But no, they're all in a wet alley together. Yeah. So, Sean.
They're like, let's just get out in here.
And all of a sudden, Sean speaks fluent Japanese.
Right?
Fluent.
He took a Rosetta Stone class on the way over, and now he knows Japanese. It's weird because everybody knows he doesn't belong there when he walks in, because like everybody stops and just is staring at him walk into the place.
Yeah.
And then DK and Neela are there. And they see him and they're like, trying to like, hey, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. But then Uncle call him Uncle. he gives him the bag of cash. Uncle's like, you think you can bring in cash and think you can leave? For any reason, I think I can. No, but he proposes a race, right? He's like, your nephew wants to kill me, so I would like to do this peacefully, please. And he's like, let's do a race. And so he agrees. Kamada, Uncle Kamada agrees to let them race.
The loser has to leave forever.
Loser leaves forever. Yeah. So they show them fixing up the dad's Mustang. So they go to Han's place. All the cars are gone because I guess the cops took it.
Worst cops, by the way. The cops left the doors open and the sliding doors open and everything unlocked. And they left all the electricity running and they just put like 4 strands of police tape. Like they literally just duck under the police tape and then the shop is running again. Like, why wouldn't they take the Han's first beat up car in the back? I don't know. Well, Han's first beat up car still has a perfect engine in it.
Perfect engine.
So they yank that engine and they put it in the dad's Mustang body. And you know what's funny to me is just like, there's no time frame.
Yeah.
Like, Kamada agrees, but it seems like he's giving them, it seems like he's giving them months, right? Like, how is that fair?
It is a dope Mustang. It is a really nice Mustang once they're done. I would drive that for sure.
Well, they're not only doing a full build montage, but then they're also doing a drift montage, learning how to drive this thing.
Yes.
So, like, all that time you showed me learning how to drive the other car, we had to rewatch him learning how to drive the Mustang on the mountain. And it was just like, I'm done with this movie, Han is dead. What is going on? So they even have time to paint it. I mean, like,
right, yeah, they like like scrape off all the old paint and then painted it, but it comes out super dope. It's a dope Mustang, and they show it at the top of this mountain at nighttime. And
thank you. Okay,
the race is gonna go. This is DK versus Sean. And Kamada's there, and this is where we see the flip phones, probably the most laughable part of the movie. Like, I'm like, oh, the flip phone.
Okay, so I will talk about this part.
Like, yeah.
I love that, like, everybody's at the bottom of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
And, well, like, Bow Wow and them, they're all at the bottom of the mountain with Uncle Kamada. And, like, they show everybody all the way up the mountain, all the spectators, they all have their flip phones. And everybody's watching the race. Somehow on their flip phones.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And can change scenes, screens.
They're able to see other people's video feeds on this like 8-bit flip phone, black and white. And they're all seeing some kind of networked video. It's so funny. Like,
it's
just funny because almost all of the Fast and Furious races that you normally see have spectators watching the race happen, but it was so weird to see them keep cutting to the spectators, and everybody's just like, nobody.
So that is kind of like 2013, race. Right, where this would have been filmed or released.
I guess so. Yeah. So the race happens.
Yep, it happens. It's pretty much, well, there's a Yakuza guy with no fingers. There's that starts the race.
There is.
What is that?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, which means you did something wrong, right? The Yakuza, they cut off their fingers when they dishonor the Yakuza.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
It's a drifting race where they go down this mountain back and forth, one in front of the other. It's dangerous. There's no guardrails. And then it comes where they, almost to the end, they're hitting each other. One's going up a berm, you know, and then I think DK is about to push, like, T-Bone Sean off of the side of a cliff. Sean somehow
gets
out of it and sends DK off the cliff, right?
Yeah, because DK realizes that he's starting to lose. So just like the jock in the beginning, he just starts destroying his own car by ramming Sean, you know? So Yeah, Sean does some maneuver, and DK somehow flips off the side of a hill, and he lands like headlights first, like standing straight up.
So, but while that's happening, he, I guess somehow Sean drifts a turn and goes under the car before, like he hits him off the cliff, beats him down to drift under him before DK hits the ground.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is that, like, it's such a terrifying accident that DK is getting into. Like, like he could die from this.
Yes.
And like everybody cheers, everybody, and everybody's just so happy.
Yeah.
Like, in this moment, like everybody's like like it was, and even Kamata is just like not even phased. He's just dead.
Yep. So DK should be dead. I don't know if he is.
We'll never know. I don't know. That's the last we see it, right?
Yeah, because he either dead or he left town, right? So, yeah, and that's
the end of the race.
Sean wins. Sean is now, I guess, the new Drift King, right?
Yeah.
The girl.
Kamata comes up to him.
Yeah.
You're free to go.
Yeah. Cute Tokyo mid-drift song.
Yeah, and we're back at the parking garage. And Sean is looking down at his parking garage kingdom as the Drift King.
He's a new
Drift King. Was it worth it? Like, that's, you did all of this so that you got the girl so you can hang out in a parking garage.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, like, he's just standing next to his car. Neela's there, and then Bow Wow comes up and he's just like, "Hey, Sean, somebody wants to race you." And he's like, "Oh, no, not tonight."
Yeah.
I was like, said he knew Han. Said he considered Han.
Family.
And I kid you not, as much as I roll my eyes on the family talk that's in every other movie,
right,
I missed it in this movie. Yeah. There was no family.
Yeah.
Like,
which is cool because it was built after this movie. But they still brought it up in this movie.
They did. Yeah. I guess so. I mean,
did Justin Lin plan that from after?
Justin Lin, you're an enigma to me.
I guess you made this
movie playing along
and the other movies.
Yeah. So he's just like, all right, well,
let's race.
Let's race. And he turns a corner in his car.
Yeah, Bandolero's song is playing, by the way.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Yep. I never watched Bandolero's. So, was that a better movie?
Yes, it was the montage.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't much. Okay, no. It wasn't the full montage, but it was pretty much
that's montage. The montage, right?
The montage. it's a hammer. He sees a muscle car, American muscle car.
Right.
It's called the car is called Hammer. That's the name of the car. And it's a 1970 Plymouth Roadrunner.
Ooh.
It's a nice car. And he pulls up to the side of it. And who is it, Frank?
It's The Rock. No.
Nope.
It's Dominic Toretto, man.
Dominic Toretto.
And you know what? Dom makes this kid look like a kid.
Yeah.
For the first time in this movie, this 40-year-old guy looks like an 18-year-old. And he has no chance. No. But he does because they're in a parking garage.
Right.
And Toretto is only used to driving straight.
Well, by this point, he's been in a lot of street chase scenes and he's always in the front.
This is true. I mean, at this point, Dom can drift while standing on the roof of the car.
Yes.
He's going to grappling hook.
Yeah. He's going to climb the side, drive up the side of the parking lot structure, and forget all the turns. But he said this is not a 10-second race. And Dominic's like, I got nothing but time.
Yeah.
And pretty much the best part for two reasons. Right? Number one, Dominic is in the race. Number two, the movie is over. Ha. We made it.
That was my favorite part. Yeah. And for a second I was just like, is this the movie's gonna start now? Was this just a bad dream leading up to the beginning of the real movie? Oh, this unnecessary movie.
Ooh.
I've never seen
a break from the Fast and the Furious universe, but
dude, I've seen TV shows more interesting. Okay, you know what? If Sun Kang from Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, actor who played Han, is watching this or is listening to this, I want to tell you that it is no fault of your own that this movie is the way it is. Yeah. You were the best part of this movie.
You were the best part.
And
you and the fisherman.
You and the fisherman were the best, and Sonny Chiba were the best part of this movie. So when I knock this movie, I'm not knocking Han. Han's my favorite. He's the man. I really like Han. So.
If we meet, please share your snacks with me.
Yes. That's where he used all his millions.
He bought stock in Nabisco.
Yeah. All right.
That's it. Credits roll.
That was it.
We're done.
Yeah, there was no post-credit scene.
No post-credit scene. That was it. What do you think about the movie? We can already tell, but what are your final thoughts?
I don't have any. I'm happy that it's over. I'm happy that I can move on. I'm excited to see the next one. I want to put this movie behind me so bad. Like,
yeah.
This is my Mexico.
This is my Mexico.
Dude.
The next movie is your Mexico.
I feel like I feel like we deserve an award or like
we're like a combat ribbon. Like
like I survived.
Made it. The road to FF, Han.
Yes, the road to Han.
The Rotan. Yeah, I didn't even
guess. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So
yeah.
I did write thoughts and I feel like we took a step back from everything we've ever
entertainment.
Watched.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was super simple, corny, lots of inappropriate, lot of like nonsense.
The plot was a thin straight line.
Yeah.
And the characters that were in it were unnecessary.
Yeah.
It was just a mismatch having them all high school students. It was just
I didn't fall in love with a weird twist.
We're already in love with Han.
But I didn't fall in love with any other characters in this one.
Nobody. I didn't care about the chase scenes. The action was terrible. The CG was bad.
I like some of the drift scenes. I like Han. I like Dom. Some of the cars are dope, and the sushi was dope. Besides that, no, nothing. Let's give our score. Yeah. And
let's give our score.
Yes.
All right. You ready? On three. Yes.
One, two, three.
Are you for real? You.
Well, first of all, I don't remember our scoring system. Off the top of my head, I know.
I can tell you that
Fist is the worst, right?
Okay. Well, then there it is.
Right. Two fists.
I have this.
Okay. So this one, I do one thumb down and not the fist.
I do two fists because I want to fight.
Because I want to do the second one because maybe there's something that would be worse. But I think that because this movie, I read somewhere that it did so bad in the viewing, like the previewing, that they brought Dominic Toretto in to do a scene at the end.
So he wasn't even at the end.
He wasn't supposed to be at the end. They done that afterwards, after the initial viewing of it.
Wow.
And he did it so that he can get the rights to Riddick. And so that he could do Riddick 2013, right? Mm. And because Dominic did that, and because Han is in that, I won't give it the fist. Punch in the face, but I'll give it a thumbs down.
Two fists to furious.
I'm too furious at this two fist. Okay. But yeah, That's our scores. We did it. We made it.
Don't watch this movie, guys. Don't do it. Don't do it. Fast and Furious 6.
I would never watch
the
this
again. Intro montage and the post-credit scene. You just need to watch those two things and you are caught up. Don't make the mistake we did. We took it for the team. Thank you for listening to this episode so that you know the pain that we went through. But it gets better.
It does. Check out blockbusterbrothers.com and also follow Blockbuster us
Brothers
on our IG, right? Our Blockbuster yeah. Brothers IG. That's where we can hang out. We can chat about all this stuff as well. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah. Aloha.
Shoots.
Shoots.
All right. You know, man.